This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Final hour of Grant and Danny from West Palm Beach. Beautiful Florida, where the Nats are training and baseball is back. We are live spring training coverage brought to you by Van Meter Homes. Join the family and go to VanMeterHomes.com today and let their family build a home for yours. Pleased to be joined right now by the skipper of the Washington Nationals, entering year two, Davey Martinez. You know, a year ago we're chatting with you. You're entering your first camp. You're doing all this for the first time. Just how much different do you feel with the experience of a season, the pluses, the minuses behind you, coming back to the well here for a try now as a veteran?
Yeah, you know, it feels pretty good, only because I know the core guys of this team and their characters, and you know, we built such a good, strong relationship last year, and coming in here, everybody seems a little bit more relaxed. They know what I want. I know what to expect from them. So add the veterans guys that we added, you know, the Pat Corbins, the Dozers, Anibal Sanchez, the two catches, Suzuki, Gomes, you know, Riz was at work this winter and got the pieces that we needed, you know, and we feel good going into spring training.
Biggest lesson for you taken from last year, what you learned last year, applying it to this year?
You know, for me, honestly, it was really about overcoming adversity. As you guys are well aware, we had a lot of injuries. We had a lot of, you know, we made some base running mistakes and stuff, but staying true to who I am. I think the players learned a lot about who I really am, and through most of the season, all the season, you know, my objective was, hey, to stay positive. You know, as a player, I valued that in coaches and managers, you know, the guys that really stay positive, you know, the Bobby Coxes, you know, learning from Joe Maddon, those guys, you know, who really, you know, stayed positive through adversity, really helped me out a lot going into this year.
Injuries you can never expect, but normally when you look at a roster, if you know baseball, you kind of say, I got a good feel for what this team should be. And there weren't many weaknesses on your team last year. The thing that you can't see when you look at that roster are some of those little things, though, right?
Absolutely.
The number of just egregious base running mistakes, those tiny little parts of the game where something would happen wrong and you go, how? I mean, these guys are all star caliber players. What's happening? And I'm sure that drove you nuts and people are questioning you because of it. There seems like an emphasis this year on that. At what point into last year did you say, well, wait a second, why are we screwing these things up? This is first page of the baseball manual stuff.
Yeah, you know, for me, it happened all too often. And that's something that, you know, I assessed over the wintertime. I really did, and wanted to hone in on what do we really need to focus on? What do we really need to get better on? And that was part of it. You know, when I look back, which I did a lot this winter, look back at games and especially one running games, you know, the base running, you know, and I'm not talking just making outs on the bases, but also advancing when we should have, that we didn't do, you know. If we would clean those up, we would win five extra games, you know, and that's huge. You know, when you're playing for a division title, that those things are really huge, you know. So we talk about all the little things, that's part of it. The defense, you know, not being able to turn double plays, you know, when need be, giving teams extra outs when we shouldn't have, you know. Those things, we got to clean that up. If we want to play consistently to win, those are the little things we need to do.
Nats manager Davey Martinez with us here on Grant and Danny, live in West Palm Beach. Dave, there aren't many competitions, but there are some. I mean, you got a lot of guys where you look around, you have a pretty good idea of who's going to be where. Give me some of the competition spots and what's up for grabs here, spring training before the club, you know, heads back north.
Right, you know, for me, you know, you got the fifth starter spot, really, you know. We signed Hellickson back, which, you know, he's got the upper hand, but it's still, you know, it's still up there. I mean, you know, because we got depth, so we could do a lot of different things, which is kind of nice. You know, I want Robles to understand that, you know, center field is not his. That Michael Taylor's here, and I want Michael Taylor to understand that he needs to go out there and play, you know, and do well, you know. But having those two guys, regardless, makes us better out there and on defense. So, you know, those two guys, you know, they're going to both get a chance to play. Which one starts, which one doesn't start, I mean, it doesn't matter. They both understand that they're going to play a lot.
You didn't mention the catcher spot there, which tells me that you've got a pretty good plan. What is that plan?
That plan, you know, I'm going to, you know, I think that's going to really take care of itself based on starting pitching. You know, which guys like to throw to who, which guy fares. You know, Suzuki's been in this league, and there's a lot of guys. One thing I know about Suzuki, if he hits a guy really well, he really hits him. So, you know, we'll pay attention to all those little things and, you know, and see which guys need a break for 2 or 3 days. And we got, you know, another veteran catcher that can go in and step in for 2 or 3 days and play in a row.
Every single team that Bryce Harper would be on is better because he's there. I mean, he's that caliber of player. A Davey Martinez managed Nationals team is no different. Are there any things that are a little easier without a superstar player or a $300 million contract in terms of, like, I don't know, maybe you could, but if you're doing a drill today and a guy does a drill wrong and you say, do it again. We've had two players already say, this year, we're doing things till we get it right. I don't know if you can tell Bryce to do a drill over again. Maybe you can. I don't know what it's like to be a manager. But is it a little bit easier as a manager to not have that type of figure on the team at all?
Well, you know, if he wants to be – if that player really is buying into what it takes to win and be part of the team, he'll do those things. You know, Bryce – would do those things. You know, we built a really good relationship to where, you know, he would have done those things. He really would have, you know. And, you know, furthermore, who wouldn't want a Bryce Harper, you know? But, like I said, these are the little things that I want to make sure that these guys understand that it matters, you know. And everybody talks about the big picture, which is, you know, 30 teams trying to win the World Series. How do we do that? You know, how do we do that every day? And for me, it's about winning your day. You know, let's win today. You know, let's focus on one thing, and let's win that portion of it today. And if we can do that, and consistently do that, we're going to win a lot of ball games.
Bullpen management, you've got a really good situation right now because you got Doolittle back healthy in the ninth, but he's got his issues that you can't throw him all the time, and you've got Trevor Rosenthal coming off injury but throws 100, pitch the eighth. Bear Claws killed you guys. Now he comes over from Miami, maybe he helps you in the seventh. What did you learn last year about, like, usage of guys in certain games when maybe you stay away or you go to guys, which games you need someone touching all those buttons? And what's the plan to make sure those guys are available on the right nights?
Yeah, but my plan is to make sure that, you know, like you said, we start from the back end of the bullpen, Doolittle. You know, make sure that he's available as much as possible, really. And also take care of him. And we, you know, if Trevor being healthy, we can do that. You know, he can close out games. He's closed out many games in high leverage situations. Bear Claw, same. I mean, Bear Claw just closed out games, you know, in a perfect world. You know, he pitches, you know, the sixth or seventh inning. And then you got, you know, now you got a guy like Suero. You got a guy like Matt Grace who helped us tremendously last year. You got another guy in Justin Miller who came up and did well. And you got a couple guys like, you know, veteran guys like Hoover. That's pitched in bullpens before that, you know, has done well so far and has thrown the ball really well. You know, you got, you know, if you want a long guy, you got Henderson Alvarez, who's really thrown the ball well already. And we'll go from there. But, you know, the key is to keep these guys healthy. Look, in a perfect world last year, and this, you know, I say this time and time again, when you're 10, 12, 15 games up, you can allow –
yeah,
you know, you to give days off, yeah. You have the luxury, you know.
Easier
but when you're fighting,
you guys were kind of scratching and clawing early.
You know, we were 8 games back at one time, and you know, I can remember getting guys up and say, "Man, I really wish I didn't have to use them today." But we got to win a game. You know, we can't fall behind.
Doesn't matter that it's May 17th.
Exactly.
It might as well be September 19th.
Exactly.
Go 8.5 back right now.
Right. So I mean, that was part of it, you know. And hopefully this year and the emphasis is, hey, we want to get off to a good start. You know, we play teams within our division.
Mets a bunch early, yeah.
Right. So, I mean, and you know, I think if you want to be the best, you got to play the best. And right now, they want, you know, on paper, they're one of the best teams to beat. You know, the team to beat.
So we mentioned superstar Bryce Harper. There's another one sitting about 25 feet to our left, doing some interviews right now. Juan Soto, David. The historical comparisons are a who's who. It's the Ken Griffey Juniors. It's the Mantles. It's guys that don't do this at 19 years old. What's the best way to prevent a kind of that sophomore slump that's famous? It's claimed a lot of guys, doesn't derail a career necessarily, but it's hard. and also, you know, still allow that kind of incredible talent to thrive, a guy that's that comfortable that early in the big leagues.
Yeah, you know, for me, we don't his ceiling is really high, as we know that, you know. But, you know, like coming to spring training, I told him, I said, I want you to focus on a couple of things. It's not about anything about hitting. I said, one, we're going to get better at defense. And I want to challenge you to win a Gold Glove. And two, you're going to be a really good base runner. Let's focus on that stuff, you know. And as you know, and everybody else know, I said, the key for you now this year is to accept your walks. End of story. You're going to hit, but you got to accept your walks. You know, don't. You know, it might be a little bit different for you. They might want you to chase a little bit more. But if you accept your walks and get them in the strike zone, you'll hit.
Go into that a little bit. Meaning, is it because of pressure, wanting to do too much, you expand your zone a little bit?
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, it could happen. You know, all of a sudden they start not wanting to pitch to you.
Yeah.
And we've seen it with Bryce numerous times.
You were in Chicago when Joe Madden walked him 8,000 times in a series.
19 times.
Thanks a lot, by the way. You ruined about 2 months of Bryce Harper after that. But it's true. Some guys don't want to – allow a base isn't as good as four.
Right.
Right?
Right.
In their mind.
Right.
But walks are a good thing. It's like a food that you found out. Like, I love Brussels sprouts now. Used to hate Brussels sprouts. Nothing wrong with Brussels sprouts, Davey.
They're fine.
Hey, let's get him to have 110 Brussels sprouts then. How's that?
There you go.
I'll take 110 Brussels sprouts right now. Lead the league in Brussels sprouts. I'd be happy with that. As far as the division goes, there's not another division like this. You can't find a division in baseball. We were talking about this on the show, where three teams want to win the damn thing. Let alone you guys. Let's say in the mid 90s in wins, the Mets make a trade for Cano and they bring in one of the better relievers in the game. The Braves have more young pitching than anyone in the sport. You're defending champions, and the Phillies, if they get Bryce or without Bryce, Realmuto, Gene Segura, it's loaded. There's no division like this. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but it's certainly going to battle test you if you can get through it.
Absolutely. I mean, this division is definitely tough, you know, and we got to be ready for the challenges that come with it, you know. And like I told them, hey, everybody's going to be good from the first day on. I mean, we play each team in our division 19 times. We got to be prepared and ready to play every single day, and that's been the focus. And like I said, doing little things. Hey, we're going to win a lot of games this year. For me, I told him, I said, we might not score 7, 8, 9 runs in a day, but we're going to win those one-run games. We're going to figure out a way to one-run games. And how do we do that? Better base running, better defense, because defense always makes better pitching. You know, I truly believe that. And really play the game the way it's supposed to be played every single day.
Davey, appreciate the time, man. Good luck to you. Keep running camp.
You got it, Danny. Hey,
thank you, dude.
Glad you guys are out of
cold
weather.
I know. No kidding.
Yeah. A couple days in the sun. Right. It's Davey Martinez, the skipper of the Nationals, on Grant and Danny here on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We're Grant and Danny. This is The Fan. We are in West Palm Beach in Florida, hanging out with the Nationals for spring training, and we've got to thank Van Meter Homes. Join the family and go to VanMeterHomes.com today. Let their family build a home for yours. Great to catch up with the skipper of the ball club for a couple of minutes, Davey Martinez, who in his second season knows that some things have to be different. I think the one emphasis I put on that conversation, and the one thing I take out of that, and it's what we've heard from everyone down here, it's kind of the theme of this camp, and it's either going to bear fruit or it's not. It's going to be talk and just something that everyone was saying when you were in first place in February, or it'll turn into something that makes a difference and actually matters come the games. Then the quote-unquote, the old cliche, the little things are being focused on so much more this year. The word I would use is fundamentals. We have had multiple players tell us they have seen Davey Martinez during drills have a guy redo something. I didn't like the way you did that, or you didn't run that base properly, or you didn't do that quite right. Do it again. And they'll do it until it's gotten right. That wasn't happening last year. Now, you could say, well, why wasn't it happening last year? I don't think that happens in most camps most years. You know, really, when a veteran player botches something on a February day when nobody's watching, it's more of a, hey, make sure next time. This year, it's a lot more intention and commitment to getting those little things right, because I believe when Davey Martinez showed up, He inherited a team that had made the playoffs, that was on the verge of the World Series. He'd watched from afar, and he kind of said, okay, this is how they do it, and they go out and they win their 96 games. But now you've seen how many games were cost, how many teams they could have beaten that they didn't by not running that base properly, by not taking first to third, by not stealing a bag when you were supposed to, by missing a sign here or there. And he's not going to let that happen again. That's at least what they're saying now. I like that.
I do, too. And sometimes it's reactionary. I mean, you go back and think of this. They had the easiest possible camps at times under Dusty Baker, right? Still won mid-90s games. And we had to figure out, well, maybe that wasn't the right answer. Then you go back to Matt Williams, where everything was regimented and drilled down to the nth degree, right? Every you know, even take water break, 31 seconds. I mean, everything was written out months in advance. They won mid-90s games 1 year, and then the next year, well, that's too regimented. You know what I mean? But for me, what they were doing in spring training, and you'd see some of the guys that were here every day write about this, they weren't playing particularly good defense. They were sloppy at times, and some of those base running mistakes and some of those things weren't just, oh, well, it's spring training, who cares, right? That came north with them. And, yeah, the injuries were a major factor. You're not going to be as good when you don't have Daniel Murphy at 100% for a long time. You're not going to be as good when you miss, you know, 36 homers and a 300 average from Ryan Zimmerman for, you know, half the season, et cetera. You're not going to be as good when Strasburg's on the disabled list and minor league Marty is you know, their eighth or ninth or tenth best pitcher in the organization is starting games for them, be it Austin Voth or otherwise. So it's a combo of things. But I'm with you. I like that. I like the idea that either stuff matters or it doesn't. It's what you and I talk about all the time with, you know, OTAs and NFL players. And a lot of guys roll their eyes at us, you know, saying guys don't have to show up to those things. They're voluntary, et cetera. My point is always, if it's worth doing, do it. If it's not, then we can skip it. But these workouts matter or they don't, right? Otherwise, why are we getting together? Why is everybody down here going through the same motions? So I do like that. I like the tenor. I like the tone. I like that it's I think the term that you've used that I think is the best here is baseball rats. The guys that are in charge of this clubhouse now are baseball rat guys. It's Eaton, it's Kendrick, it's Dozier, it's the workers. It's the guy that right now was bothering a coach to roll him 50 balls because he didn't like the way his backhand felt at 9:15 this morning.
Right?
That's the kind of guy that is leading this team.
Yeah.
Maybe not as talented as other guys have been, but
think
it's
about
important.
This, though. Think about last year. How many times did we talk about this? We would get calls. The Nats season was coming apart at the seams. Who's their leader? Who's going to grab someone by the neck? Not literally, Jonathan Papelbon. We don't need you to grab it.
Not again. Never again, please.
But who is going to make sure that they start doing things differently that are going to lead to wins? Max Scherzer was the guy calling the players-only meetings. There's nothing wrong with Max Scherzer being a leader. He's a great one. But the starting pitcher who goes every fifth day is not supposed to have to do that. Someone's supposed to have to run that room. There was a great shot from Masson in a late-season game when the Nats were right at the verge of basically being eliminated, where Adam Eaton started screaming in the dugout. I don't know if you remember that. He, like, started going up and down the dugout kind of screaming, like, hey, we need runs, let's go. And it was very clear in that moment, okay, I guess that's the guy who's decided it's just going to be him because mm-hmm. no one else seems invested.
No one else seems to want to do it.
Do it.
Yeah.
No disrespect to Adam Eaton. Good ball player. Is that the guy that if you are Zimmerman or Harper or Rendon that you want kind of barking at you who's been here for – a year healthy and
yeah, for 10 minutes.
You need a bunch of people doing that. And I think Dozier is a really good leader. Eaton has proven he can lead. He's another year here and it'll be a second full healthy season. Rendon, for whatever reason, he's just not much of a talker. He's not going to be vocal. Not everybody is. But you've got Zimmerman. You've got Scherzer. I think a guy like Anibal Sanchez, with his experience coming in here, particularly with some of the Latin players, it's just a veteran clubhouse in a way that it hasn't been before.
Right.
And we went around the locker room. We talked about this at the start of the show today, talking to guys. It feels different. Now, I don't want to blame all of that on Bryce Harper.
No.
I don't think that's
fair. And it's not
fair
to do so, but you're right, though.
It sounds like it's a negative against Bryce, but I just think the culture that's created when you have a guy who is treated differently. And it's not his fault that he is, but if Paul McCartney is at some like Live Aid tour where a bunch of musicians are performing, he's going to have different rules and treatment just because when he shows up, he's Paul McCartney, even if he doesn't ask for it. He could want to be just like every other guy in the room. Doesn't mean it's going to happen. That was the case for a long time, and they don't really have that right now, and I think it's a healthy thing. We're Grant and Danny in West Palm Beach at Nats Camp. Spring training, 2019 coverage on 106.7 The Fan. We will be joined by Max Scherzer. That's going to be fun. A couple of days of some great interviews continues next.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan, doing our best to make the snow melt back home with a little spring training coverage for you on a beautiful, warm day in West Palm Beach, live from spring training. Our Nats coverage is brought to you by Van Meter Homes. Join the family and go to vanmeterhomes.com today. Let their family build a home for yours. A couple of non-Nationals items for you as we've been doing some heavy lifting with some interviews from here in West Palm Beach. First and foremost, the Capitals have traded for Carl Hagelin. They've added speed and maybe some goal-scoring ability, even though he's got just two goals with two teams this season, well over halfway through the year. But you knew they wanted to make a move. He will make his debut with the team on Saturday night. The Capitals have a game coming up this evening against the Toronto Maple Leafs, and then they play the Buffalo Sabres on Saturday. So that is expected to be his first game with Washington. They traded a third and a conditional sixth-round pick for Hagelin. I don't think they're done, Danny. I know you think Brian McClellan, who likes the wheel and deal, could have something else up his sleeve as they want to try to catch Barry Trotz's Islanders in the Metro Division.
This smells like the first of a couple moves to me, meaning he's a great compliment. And I like the move, but just for the record, you give up a third-round pick. I don't really care about picks right now for the Washington Capitals. In a couple of years, I'll care about picks, but not while the window is still what it is. This is the defending Stanley Cup champion. Please go all in to continue to win Stanley Cup championships. So I'm happy to do that. And by the way, the Kings are taking half the deal as well, which makes it very, very good. So to me, this is the beginning of maybe one other thing, because it solves some elements, right, where they've got more team speed now. They got a guy that can win you a possession or two, maybe put the biscuit in occasionally. But to me, this is the we still need a defenseman or we still need a face-off guy. It doesn't solve all their problems, but it feels like, hey, this is a playoff-tested guy who's given us fits. Maybe he could help.
To the NFL we go, where the Redskins are apparently going to be in the mix for Landon Collins. Everybody today is talking about a Diana Rossini tweet from a few years ago when he was drafted, when he had said at the time, very publicly, that he wanted to play for the Washington Redskins. He grew up idolizing and admiring Sean Taylor. Remember, that was part of DJ Swearinger's interest in Washington when he was a free agent. He wanted to follow in the footsteps of Taylor. There are so many safeties at this point in the National Football League that wanted to be the next Sean Taylor, and so they've envisioned themselves at some point in burgundy and gold, and that does help the Redskins. It has already, and it will continue to. Collins is apparently not going to be back with the Giants. Josina Anderson of ESPN yesterday reporting that the way that he left the facility, some of the things that he said to some of his teammates, led people in the organization to believe he's reached the end of the road. We asked you at the start of the show on the phones if you'd be willing to pay him money as if he's the best safety in the game. It might take $12, $13 million a year going into the prime of his career at 25 years old for a team that's cash-strapped because of the Alex Smith cap penalty, in air quotes. You and I are both on board with doing that. We both think he's too good a player to pass up, and, oh, by the way, you don't have enough talent on defense. Remember, they're going to create some space if they cut Josh Norman, if they cut Zach Brown, if they were to release Mason Foster. Three things I would consider doing.
Even if they don't cut Josh Norman for the sake of argument, they'll still you can create enough space to me to sign Landon Collins. I understand that right now it's not necessarily one-to-one. If you can cut Zach Brown and then you could sign Landon Collins. To me, I sign Landon Collins and figure the rest out. That's how good he is to me. And that's the situation I think is so perfect. I think he would fit in a defense. Again, the last time he played in a great defense, a couple seasons ago, the Giants' defense looked an awful lot like the Redskins'.
And they won 11 games that year. Yeah. That was a
second-best scoring defense in the league.
Terrible before that, terrible after that, and he was one of two or three guys on that team that year that elevated their defense to being one of the best in football.
Creating havoc. He was all over the field, in the box, out of the box. He was intercepting passes. He was lighting guys up. I am a huge Landon Collins fan. I think he would fit tremendously well, be a great asset for the Redskins.
There's a story out of Inglewood, Colorado today that Case Keenum is shocked and disappointed that the Denver Broncos traded for Joe Flacco. Well, every Broncos fan should be disappointed that they traded for Joe Flacco because your quarterback's now Joe Flacco. I wouldn't be shocked, though. I mean, shocked is a whole different thing. Shocked to me means you didn't see it coming. John Elway loves getting the quarterback position wrong. It's one of his favorite hobbies. So you shouldn't be shocked that he got it wrong again with Joe Flacco, who stinks terribly when it comes to playing quarterback.
I mean, what's the shock part? That Case Keenum was replaced as a starter?
2 years and $36 million, that's a commitment where he thought he was their guy for the next two seasons. I think what he – I guarantee you what he planned on was, I'm not dumb. I know I'm Case Keenum. I'm going to have a 16-game sample this year where I go out and I throw 20 touchdowns and 15 picks, and he went 18 and 15. You know, I have a rating a little over 80. I'm Case Keenum. I'm going to crash back down to earth. I'm not Case Keenum with the Vikings.
No.
When our defense was great and our running game was great and everybody 72 and sunny and we got to go to the NFC Championship game on a fluke play to beat the Saints, it's not working that way for me anymore. But I'm going to get that first year. And I'm going to start the second season as the starter because we're going to draft the guy in the first round.
Yeah.
And that kid's not going to be ready until week five or week six. And I can play well enough in those 5 weeks to at least position myself for a starting job the next year. I think this blindsided him because he didn't think they're going to go get another veteran that's not him.
They're going to get another bad quarterback.
Or a rookie. Nope, I'll just get a veteran that might even be every bit as pedestrian as Case Keenum. The only difference between Joe Flacco and Case Keenum.
Joe's taller.
Case Keenum.
More of a unibrow.
Doesn't cost as much money.
Yeah.
And less people think he's good because he didn't win a Super Bowl that one time.
That time.
That's the difference between those two guys.
Well said by you. I think the shock is that this is how it ended. Because it should have ended, as you said, where they use their draft capital to move up or something and get a starting quarterback for the future. I'd be shocked, too, if I was replaced by someone the caliber of Joe Flacco. I'd be horrified. It would not say a lot about me. So they think they upgraded with this guy who has stunk on ice. Literally, over the last 4 years, there has been people who have played that many games. There's no worse passer in terms of yards per attempt, in terms of touchdowns, in terms of any positive number that you could accumulate. He has the worst of anybody that's played the 51 games that he's played.
It's always his offensive coordinator's fault. It's always the receivers around him's fault. And, yeah, those guys are never great, but it's really hard to be great when Joe Flacco's your trigger man. You know, like, you can tell me that you and I as a show, like, oh, well, you're not that great. Well, you're probably right. But if you give me Jack Hicks on his 60th birthday to be our engineer today.
Jack Hicks' birthday today. Happy birthday, Jack.
You give me Brendan Dar, formerly AJ Ataye, who's hanging out with us today, a little Thom Daley. You give us some people around us, we can buoy ourselves.
AJ's eating Greek yogurt with some granola in it today.
He's got a man bun. By the way, good story for you real quick.
Tell me the story.
AJ's had a man bun for better part of 2 months now.
Right.
It's a terrible thing he's doing, okay? Terrible. He keeps growing out his hair. He puts it in a bun. He keeps trying to tell me other people have hair buns. Unless they play soccer, I don't care. They don't exist. Trevor Rosenthal's got a man bun. I've seen him 3 times.
Those 101.
I've seen Trevor Rosenthal 9 times today. Every time he doesn't have a hair bun, AJ's like, he just had it. He took it out. I'm sure he does. He doesn't have a man bun. Anyways, AJ today was walking around the clubhouse, and I had 2 people in the span of less than 4 minutes ask me what AJ was doing with his hair.
They give you a what's the deal with that guy?
One of them knows AJ pretty well and used his name. The other guy doesn't know AJ from a hole in the wall. And he goes, hey, that's your buddy? I said, yeah. He goes, what's he doing with his hair? I said, I don't know. I tell him all the time, don't do that. I told AJ that this morning. He's texted me 11 times. He's come over. He's been hanging around all day. Here's why.
He's been lingering.
All he wants to know
is who it was.
Is who asked him about his hair bun. You got to get on microphone. Who wants to know about AJ? And I'm not telling him. And it's killing him.
It is bothering him.
How mad are you that you don't know?
No, you have to move the top of the thing around your man bun.
Yeah, you got to separate.
It's touching your man
the
bun.
Two prongs around the man bun.
There you go.
Is it in between?
Yeah, it's in between.
Oh, there you go. Okay. First of all, thank you guys.
Hey, buddy.
I'm happy to see you.
Happy
and
to
I'm
see you as well.
I'm very bothered. I am the most bothered. I'm trying to pretend like this doesn't affect me at all. I'm going to go about my day. But it annoys me, and you know it would annoy me, and that's why you did this.
Well,
I'm mad at you.
I blame you, though. 2 people brought it up.
Mm-hmm.
You came here with a man bun. You wanted people to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
Why else would you have come here with a man bun?
I just continue to live my life. I don't know what you expect of me.
Well, he's a big-time goal scorer in the MLS now.
Why don't you just get that good haircut you had for a while?
AJ Ibrahimovic.
It'll come back.
I felt good about that, Dar.
Ibrahimovic.
Got nothing off the bat from Dar.
Zlatan Ataye.
Nothing off the bat from Dar right there.
I'll tell you who it was tonight, but not until I'm ready.
A couple bourbons? That's exactly. What's going to get it out of
exactly.
You? Okay.
Not until I'm ready.
We got to do a Jordan read here.
It's good to see you about. It's time for a read, Downey.
Miss
Grant
you guys.
And Danny on the fan. We miss you as well. We got one more segment left, and we got some Nats information for you that we'll pass along. We gathered today on the fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
West Palm Beach, the site of Nats Camp. What a beautiful environment for baseball and relaxing, really. That's what it's going to be for the next few hours after this. Grant and Danny live from camp, brought to you by Van Meter Homes. Join the family and go to vanmeterhomes.com today. Let their family build a home for yours. So we're here from 10 to 2 tomorrow on Grant and Danny again. Tomorrow, and we'll have several really good guests, including Ryan Zimmerman and Max Scherzer and others, so make sure you're listening. But our coverage of spring training is expanding this year, so we'll make our normal trip as we have. The Junkies will come down. Chad will be down. All the shows will be represented over the course of the next few weeks. But we've also got an exclusive Nats show with great content live from West Palm Beach with Charlie Slows and Dave Jagler.
This is cool.
Be airing on Monday nights. And it's actually going to be done in front of live Nats fans and an audience if people want to come out. So if you're making a trip down here on a Monday night, you can come see Charlie and Dave.
This is true. Good to see you guys.
Charlie, welcome,
buddy. You too, buddy.
Glad you made it out.
Oh, no kidding.
I was reading at your travel adventures.
Wasn't great.
Grant sleeping in the Charlotte airport two nights ago next to a guy snoring very loudly.
He was a loud snorer. He was very comfortable sitting next to me and talking on his phone very loudly about things I shouldn't know about him. How about not do that next to me? But I guess when you're in
the
airport,
he could have.
Does Dave do that on the road? Overtalks on cell phones a little too loud? He's known for that?
There are others who do, but he definitely does not.
He does not do that.
He's not a loud talker.
But where's the show? It's at a barbecue spot.
Brother Jimmy's Barbecue over in the City Walk.
Oh, we were there last night.
We're just right there,
Second level. It's a place that we would frequent during the course of spring training anyway. So it's putting a lot of pressure on us. I mean, other than the people who come into the booth as guests, Dave and I usually broadcast with those people behind us. But now we're going to actually do a broadcast with people in front of us, like a live studio audience in front of us.
You know what's funny about that?
The pressure's on now.
Kidding aside, I mean, it's not like you guys will be nervous. But it is funny to think about this, though, Charlie, because when years and years and years ago, when I was lucky enough as a little kid, as a cute little kid to go on like these TV shows, actors would be on as guests. And they would be petrified.
They don't like audiences.
And so nervous. So I remember like Joaquin Phoenix one time. Another guy who was like that it might have been Kristen Davis from Sex and the City, I think. And they were so nervous to do it. It was like the Letterman show live. And everyone's like, you're an actress. You're an actor. You're
just act.
Just go out there.
But they don't it's nothing but quiet.
Audiences. You guys
You know what it is? There's no script.
Right.
It's not rehearsed.
There's no ball game to call.
Yeah.
But this will be fun for you, and I know Dave did a lot of radio as well. It'll be awesome.
It'll be like a rain delay with no rain for us.
You just start talking about the rain.
Does it ever rain in D.C.? You guys ever get rained out?
But you hate barbecue, so what are you going to eat?
No, I don't hate barbecue.
Oh, I've always heard you don't eat barbecue.
I'm not great Mexican food, but I like barbecue.
Oh. Danny told me you never eat barbecue.
It's not true. He's telling stories out of school now.
But the real interesting thing will be, while Dave and I will be doing the show, the jack of all things will be signing autographs next to us because people don't get that opportunity very often.
And by the way, we need to do this properly. 60th birthday, Jack Hicks today.
Happy birthday, boys.
Happy birthday, Jack Hicks. He gets us on the air.
Happy birthday.
He makes the headphones fit. There's a cough button, the whole thing.
How we celebrate? Are we going to wine and dine you tonight, Jack? Is there any big plans? All right, good. We're going to do something fun.
Something's going to happen. I love it.
He makes the whole thing work. Let's talk Nats for a second while we have you, Charlie. I got to tell you, man. You know, I probably say this most seasons, and so I don't know if people will take it as serious or credible or what. I really, really like what they did this offseason.
Well, they addressed a lot. I mean, catching had to be addressed.
Massive upgrade, right?
Well, I thought they would get one. They got two. Mm-hmm. So you have depth at a position where you literally had no depth. You went and did some things in the bullpen with Bear Claw, who I liked. I thought the Marlins overused him, and he broke down a bit last year.
Probably wasn't a closer, you know, got forced into that role. But, yeah, and when they were pitching him 70-plus games,
right.
That's not what he should be doing.
They moved him ahead of A.J. Ramos when Ramos was struggling, and then they traded Ramos to the Mets, so it was his job, and then he got hurt. And, you know, Trevor Rosenthal was a big-time closer up until the last 2 years he pitched for the Cardinals when he had command issues, and obviously that probably was part of – you know, eventually leading to Tommy John surgery.
Yeah.
And so now he's back throwing 100 miles an hour. And, you know, you can't, even though today's game you have defined roles, you can't go get through a season where your closer closes every opportunity that there is to close. So you have him, you have Bear Claw, you have some flexibility, you have a deep rotation adding Corbin and Anibal Sanchez. I don't know if Sanchez is going to be a guy. With the Braves, he wasn't a guy that pitched deep into games all the time. And then you have Hellickson in the number five spot, which re-signing him takes the onus off. Does it have to be Joe Ross or Eric Fetty to win that number five spot?
Are you ruling out Bryce Harper?
I'm doubtful now that it could happen. A lot would have to change. I mean, it's really hard just to keep reading the stuff being spewed out.
Well, it's like today,
every day.
Philly.com has this new thing that the Phillies feel like they're closing in on a deal. It sounds bad, but it's almost like an eye-rolling thing every time there's news now.
Yeah, I can't do the updates anymore.
I almost don't care.
Right.
Tell me when a deal's
done. Gabe
Kapler
said I can't pay attention to it anymore. I'm over it. You know, and the worst thing that's probably happened from Philadelphia's standpoint is when their owner comes out in the end of the season, says, well, we have a lot of money under the – we can spend stupid. So then, okay, if they were going to spend stupid, they would have signed either one of these two big guys months ago. So in the end, they're baseball people – probably hating that he said that,
yeah,
because they're trying to do it the right way and not lock themselves in for more money than they have to commit to. And then Klentak comes out yesterday and says, you know, we walked away from Machado. You know, if it doesn't happen this year, there's going to be other free agents next year. So obviously he's talking about Arenado, or if Rendon is a free agent, and some guy named Trout, that's probably the best fit to go to Philadelphia. Since
he's got some Philly background, yeah.
Yeah, you know, best fit over anyone. And, you know, at this point, when you read John Heyman, Bob Nightingale, it's a lock. He's going to the Phillies. All along has been a lock until the day the Giants went to visit him. And he said, it's 1-1 now that he's going to San Francisco. So is he right? These guys are supposed to have credibility as the national baseball reporters. You know, and the one guy who doesn't do that is Ken Rosenthal.
Yeah.
He just won't go and say, yeah, this is supposedly, you know, what everyone thinks will happen, but I won't rule out it. He says, I never go all the way and say this is going to happen, because it hasn't happened until it happens.
Charlie, with the Nats, what's your biggest question? What's the question mark?
Stay healthy. Do they have enough in the bullpen? Will they add another lefty? I'm hearing they really like what they've seen from Vidal Nuno coming in as possible another lefty. You know, again, whole thing with the bullpen is if you can get enough innings from your starters over consecutive days that you don't overuse a Matt Grace. That you know, we saw what happened last year,
right,
when you get too many innings and some of these guys too early in the year when they don't get that kind of pitching back-to-back days and pitch three times in 5 days in spring training. Then all of a sudden they're asked to do that when the bell rings, and you know, you get to the end of April and guys are sore. It's too early. When that happens, those guys are never going to be right the rest of the year. So I think you can never have enough depth in relievers. I think now with the addition of what they did at the back end of the rotation, you have the luxury to say start Fetty at AAA. You could start Joe Ross at AAA and manage his innings so that when you need him, you have him at any point during the year, and he's not a guy who's shut down by innings after Tommy John surgery come August 1st. You lose him for the year. So maybe they can spread him over the course of the year by managing his innings in the minor leagues. Will either one of them end up being a long man of the bullpen, or do they not do that and have them stretched to be starters if they need to use him that way? And again, you know, I love the Dozier signing. You know, it gives them depth in the infield. If you don't have Harper, you can make up for a lot of power at second base. This is a guy, what he hit 30 to 40 home runs almost every year in Minnesota.
Average 35, 36. Yeah.
Right, outside of last year when he was hurt and still had 21 home runs when he didn't, you know, his playing time was cut significantly, especially didn't play much after he went to the Dodgers. So, I mean, that could be a big acquisition that nobody really is talking about very much. Zim stays on the field. You're great. You have Adams to back him up, and now you have the luxury to use Howie Kendrick the way you wanted to use him, not as the starting second baseman, but he can play some second, he can play some outfield, and along with Adams, there's your right left punch late in the game as pinch hitters who can drive the ball. And then we don't know how the rest of the bench would shake out. You figure Defoe's your utility guy. You have your backup catcher. You have Adams and Kendrick and one more player. Who is that? Is that Andrew Stevenson back? Well, you have Michael Taylor if he's not starting, assuming Robles is the center fielder and Eaton's in right and Soto's in left.
Charlie Slows, Dave Jagler. First game they'll be on the call of is Saturday, Monday nights. They'll be live on the fan with
the
show.
We're under the
from
lights.
West Palm Beach. We're under the lights.
Out, I've never started out spring training with a night game.
It's cool.
Saturday Night Lights. It's going to be
6:30, cool. And then 6:30 Monday from Brother Jimmy's.
Make sure you're listening. Thank you, Charlie.
You're welcome.
See you,
Grant
buddy.
And Danny saying so long for now from West Palm Beach. We're at it again tomorrow at 10 a.m. If you're a Nats fan, this is must listen. If you missed any of our interviews today, including Davey Martinez, Brian Dozier, Patrick Corbin, go to thefandc.com, grantanddanny.com/audio. Baseball Dukes is next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.